It's the Snowstorm of Love has been a wonderful journey of just beautiful romantic love that is quiet and sweet, but also very captivating. I have cataloged a lot of my thoughts about this show for several weeks now, and this is my finale. I am going to do a full review on this incredible C-drama that almost overtook one of my favorite C-dramas ever. Hi, I'm Anique. I am the host of Off by Purple Heart podcast, where I talk to you about K-dramas, C-dramas, BTS, and whatever else I want to talk about. Amidst a Snowstorm of Love, I have just finished episode 30 and I'm giving you a full review. I'm going to do a spoiler-free section, which is the first half, and then I'm going to get into specific things and actual spoilery stuff from the show. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, I think it's worth it because I'm just going to be squeeing a lot. And I think even if you're spoiled for the show, if you're a true lover of romance stories and love to suck up and soak in beautiful slow burn, then spoiler free or spoiler not, you're going to enjoy the hell out of the episode because you're going to be like me. You're going to be super squeeing and you're going to be super excited and you're just going to have a good time, okay? So I want to first off say that this show is definitely the personification of slow burn. And the show does a masterful job of making simple day-to-day mundane things seem extremely romantic. I think it starts off with the two actors that portray Go and Yi Yang. I think especially I've been talking a lot, and I mean a lot, about Leo Wu Lei. And I'm doing this because I have been really steadily impressed with him as an actor. I have really enjoyed his work in Love Like the Galaxy. I had mentioned in my podcast about that show in particular that I came into Love Like the Galaxy being a real big fan of Xia Le Se from Hidden Love, which, by the way, is my favorite C-drama ever. I love it so much. I literally have the DVD of of Hidden Love, which is crazy, I know. But, you know, physical media is disappearing day by day, and we're all dependent on, like, streaming services, and they can snatch up a lot of art just like that. So I am now in the process of collecting a lot of physical media that I enjoy and love and know that I'll rewatch. And Hidden Love is there, and this show is also there. So if there's ever a DVD of this show in particular, any special editions and features, I'm gonna get it. But anyways, I came into Love Like the Galaxy a huge fan of Xia Le Se, and I didn't know that much about Leo Wu, and I walked away from that show like the biggest Leo Wu fan. And he continued his reign of glory here in this show. He does a lot with a simple look. He is absolutely smoldering, and even though his character Yi Yang was obviously written by a woman, and written by a woman very well, the romanticism that he's able to display, the amount of affection and care he shows to the female lead through the entirety of this show, it's breathtaking, and it's one of the main reasons why the show works so well. I think they also cast Jin Mai really well as Go, or Go-a. I refer to it as Go-a, but their actual spelling of her name is G-U-O. But I think they did well with both of them. They had phenomenal chemistry from the word go, and I was instantly hooked. I think it is a slower paced show, not so much as a development of the relationship. I had said in previous podcasts that they're two very introverted characters and that their emotions are not as big and bombastic. If you're coming to the show wanting a whole lot of drama and a whole lot of back and forth and like an enemies to lovers or rivals to lovers kind of dynamic, and you need things super spicy from the word go, this is not going to be the show for you. Right? But I think the show was paced slowly, but the relationship and the relationship development itself was actually pretty quick trajectory. Like, we already were getting like intimate adjacent scenes by like episode 7, and they kiss, I think, in like episode 8 or 9, and there's a total of 30 episodes. So the relationship developments happen relatively quickly. But I'm telling you, like, the show does a really great job in pacing itself, even though it's slow. Everything is natural, and a lot of the scenes between the two of them and how their chemistry develops and how the relationship develops and how you as the viewer comes more in sync with it and gets more immersed in it is through just simple tasks of them going to dinner together, them walking together on a snowy night, you know, them sightseeing, them playing pool together, whether it be for their actual practice because of their professional careers or just for leisure. And just talking with their friends on the phone or group chatting, it is just very simplistic how their relationship progresses and develops and blossoms into something a lot more. But I'm telling you, it is worth the journey to watch this show if you are a super lover of actual romance. I think it just personifies everything that I look for in media that represents romantic relationships, and I love the dynamic of it all. I love also just getting to see a male lead be so completely head over heels in love with his female lead and do just basic day-to-day things to show how much he cares. And that to me is worth so much in gold. I mean, there's a lot of discourse right now about love and relationships. If you're on social media at all, you probably know what I'm referencing. But it's just refreshing to see a man just unabashedly lay his heart out on his sleeve. And he doesn't have to give you the most romantic, poetry-esque, you know, lines and be super suave and coming in there and like splashing diamonds all across the deck. Like, the most romantic gestures he does is quite literally always giving her food, feeding her, traveling hours upon hours on end, even to his own detriment, just to get an hour or two with her. You know, things like him just accrediting a lot of his professional success to her. It's the simple things, them getting to stargaze and sightsee. It's just such a beautiful unflurring of a relationship, and I enjoyed the journey of it so much. I really savored this show. I stretched it out, I did. And it did feel voyeuristic, me coming in and watching the show. There is some ways that the show was filmed, some of the camera angles, some of the lighting that felt so super intimate that you almost felt uncomfortable, like you were intruding on a moment. Like, these are absolutely fictitious characters. I'm not saying anything about the real actors that are involved and what their relationship is outside the show. I don't know anything about that. I'm not into that. I'm just, in the context within the show, these two characters, you could easily take them out of the show, and let's say they were in a fictitious way, like they were a social media couple and you were just a viewer and you're watching their day in the life and things, like you would still fall in love with them. Like, the two characters just fit together so well, their energies match so well, the chemistry was just really great to watch. And it's a shame that a lot of people might be dismissive of the show, especially in the first few episodes, because they think it's too slow moving. The beauty of the show is the details. The beauty of the show is that it's just so grounded in reality, while also seeming like they brought out the absolute best in each other. And Yi Yang really rose to occasion because he set sights on her the first night their eyes met in the middle of a snowstorm, and he said, "This is the woman I want to spend my life with," and that's it. It's just like I teared up like multiple times in the show, and I especially teared up in episode 30, which I will get into in just a bit when I get into like the heavy spoilers of the show. But I will say, the show is not for everybody. It's not, but if you genuinely are a lover of romance, you love seeing development, you are okay with slower paced dramas as long as the payoff is well worth it. I'm telling you, the payoff is well worth it with this show. It is, okay? I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Now, going into more spoilery parts of the show, I have to say there's so many little moments, and I've probably covered them already in previous podcasts, and I have a couple of notes here and there. So I can tell you from like the first meeting and the iconic scene where you see him in the snowstorm, he's got his face covered, but you only see Leo Wu's eyes, and the character Yi Yang is seeing Go for the first time, and she's in the bar, Redfish, and she's just drawing a sad face on the window, and you look at her, and the just the expressive love that's on his face, I knew that I was totally locked in with episode one. Even with the callbacks to coffee, there's a coffee emoji that the character uses very early on in the courtship of Goa, and the coffee bean sequence, them going to the coffee shop together and him, you know, picking out some coffee beans because Go wanted to get like a special coffee blend in Finland for her friend. He takes her to the specialty coffee shop. He sees all these couples, and you can just start to see him putting, you know, him and Goa in his mind together and thinking, what can I do to get on this woman's radar? I really like her, and I can envision myself, you know, in the future going to shops like this with her and just having her like eat out the palm of my hand and all the cutesy stuff. And that progressing right to them crossing those lines of intimacy where he first kind of approaches her in the kitchen after he sees in her room that she has saved the two coffee beans from that shop together. The continuity from all of that to that first burst of like sexual tension and them in the kitchen and him pressing her up against the wall, and you as a viewer are like quite literally holding your breath and you're just waiting to exhale, and just how it was lit and just the absolute hunger in Yi Yang's eyes, and you can see the nervous energy coming off Go, but her arousal and her absolute interest and their laser eye contact with one another. It was just exquisite how that was played out. And it all connects together. Like every little scene that seems really simplistic and seems like a throwaway scene has a callback one way or another that's woven into the story. And even the following scene where, you know, he's making the coffee from the coffee beans after they've had this really intimate moment the night before, and he's then trying to, you know, get into her personal space, and they're leaning to each other and you think that they're about to kiss and relieve this tension that's been building up deliciously for like the past 7+ episodes, and then her teammates are coming in and you could see how just upset and dejected he is. He's like, oh my God, we were so close. We were so close to finally getting to come together, and we have another barrier. And the dejection of that all. And after she leaves the room and, you know, one of his friends comes up to him and say, hey, can I get a cup of coffee? What's going on here? And he just kind of dejectedly throws a straw into the decanter or the coffee machine, is like, yeah, go drink the coffee yourself, and kind of stomps off and pouts. It's like the little funny moments that they're able to interject to kind of break up tension a little bit is amazing. You know, there is like the whole sequence with the lighters. Like you constantly saw him, you know, flicking lighters throughout the show, almost like a distraction technique, something that he does to like self-soothe. And it's almost in a way him itching to get back into the world of playing pool and billiards, but he's kind of cut himself off, or he's suppressed his passion for it, and it being reignited through meeting Go and seeing her professional career, and not only just thinking that she's beautiful and charming and wanting to get to know her, but also having a healthy level of respect for her as a billiard player. And him getting reignited to get back into snooker, but the lighters in the meantime are like almost like a distraction technique, something that he kind of like, he just has to do something with his hands because like the muscle memory is still kicking in. And then the significance of the lighter scene when he is tossing the lighter around and she's interested by it and she asks to touch it to see it, and he, you know, goes to gesture to hand it to her. And as she leans in, him kind of clasping her hand and pulling her in. Just, it's magical, you know? The laundromat scene. The laundromat scene when he finally is working up the courage to say, no, I am going to ask her out. We are going to cross this, you know, awkward sexual tension, and I'm going to get a way to finally get this relationship progressing and moving. And him, through texting her, saying, you know, don't you know that I've been trying to court you? I've been trying to pursue you. May I do this? Like, I really like you and I want to go further. And her being so nervous because this character is super sheltered. You as a viewer, and through the acting of Jin Mai and through the writing and everything else, you know that she's just as enraptured in him as he is with her. But since she is so sheltered, she comes from this family of like professional athletes. They've protected her and they've been kind of circling around her. And you know, the entire culture of them and her not really having any experience in love before is like super nervous, and you just feel this nervous, frantic energy despite them not doing much. And then having that third party in the scene, that man that's just kind of folding his laundry and looking at two of them like, what the hell is wrong with you two? Like, why is it so goddamn quiet in here? I feel so awkward. Let me get up and get my shit so I can leave, because these two are completely weird. And you know, that tension breaking because Go is so just flabbergasted when he Yi Yang actually finally admits his feelings through text, and then she isn't able to respond in the way that's favorable to him right away, and then he kind of walks off, and then this man, this stranger, kind of has to counsel her and say, what the hell's going on with you? Are y'all two okay? I didn't even realize that two of you were Chinese, because the way it was so goddamn silent here, like, y'all obviously are into each other, whatever. Like, what the hell's happening? And it's just that entire scene. Like, I just, oh. And there's other moments, like her winning the championship, that first big win of hers, and her dedicating her win to Yi Yang and crossing over to the stands and holding his hand and saying, you know what? I'm the king today. But I'm going to share my joy in this match with you, and you're the queen. And the loving gaze that he looks at her upon. And even that is called back to in episode 30 as well. You know, the stargazing that he took her on, like the entire sequence in the car, and you know, her teasing him about the Titanic love scene between, you know, Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio, and you know, how they fogged up the windows and all that stuff, like that teasing, sexy, playful banter. There's just so many moments, even like the first kiss and the windsweptness of it all. It's just so beautiful. And that all leads me to episode 30. And episode 30 was just the perfect conclusion to everything. There's so many things in the show that I enjoy just outside the romance as well. Before I get into like episode 30 and what I love the absolute most, I appreciated the other elements, like for example, the friendship between the guys, you know, with like Yi Yang and Jin Yang and the cousin, and their friendship throughout the entirety of the series. And there was never really professional jealousy amongst them. Like, they all were very adult. They could tease each other, and they came across as like 20-year-old guys when they would drink, and they kind of razz each other a little bit and go out for dinner. But there was such a level of love and understanding, and that the two of them were trying so hard just to get Yi Yang to reignite his passion for pool, because they knew that he loved it, and they just knew that he had so much skill and talent in him, and that he deserved one last reign, you know, in his career. And the way they were able to bring him back into the fold, with of course the help of the new love of Go, right? But their friendship and how strong it was through the entirety of the show was really great to see. And even the female characters as well, even though there's a couple of storylines that are popping up to have a little bit of tension, like Go's mother, for example, and how she comes off really cold at first, and she has a lot of prejudice towards Yi Yang, mainly because of how he was when he was like a teenager. But of course, she comes to mellow out and comes to an understanding, ends up being a really level-headed character, and they had a really great, you know, scene to kind of resolve everything, and then you knew that, you know, everything was going to work out just fine. Even with the girl that was supposed to be like a romantic rival, like that was resolved very quickly as well, and there was still that level of professional courtesy amongst the female players, which I really enjoyed. And the only sore spot I think in the show was the sister. I don't know if what they were trying to do with that. Like, I read a comment in one of my previous podcasts where someone alluded to the fact that in the book version of the show, which I am currently reading right now, the English version, the English translation of the book, the sister, I think, in the book had feelings for Yi Yang, which would explain the behavior of the sister in the show, but they kind of dropped the ball on that. And I don't know if that was good or not, because it's like, why even bother introduce or foreshadow that there's going to be conflict with that if they weren't going to follow through, right? It's kind of pointless. But outside of that sore thumb, like even the little troubles that were brewing, they were able to resolve it very quickly. And overall, the female characters, you know, held their own. They ended up being the big champions, the big winners, and they all had that level of respect for one another. And they all, you know, enjoyed playing amongst one another, and even when they're directly competing with another, there was no snideness and there was no undercutting. It was just professionalism through and through, and I enjoyed that. That was like a breath of fresh air amongst all the characters. So there was just so much that I enjoyed out of it. But episode 30 episode 30 and the gorgeous engagement scene, which was everything to me. I know this character is written by a woman, and if it wasn't abundantly clear through the entire 29 episodes beforehand, episode 30 and the proposal speech that Yin Yang gives cements that this was written by a woman, because the romance, there's layers to it. I actually took some notes on the speech. I didn't transcribe the entirety of the speech. I'm sure if you're watching this podcast or you're listening to this podcast, you most likely have watched the entirety of the show. But if you're someone that's just into spoilers, I'm just going to give you just a general recap of it, because he, first of all, cites an incredible movie, The Truman Show, starring Jim Carrey, which it sets up everything up perfectly. And I quote, this is how Yi Yang starts his proposal to Go. There's a movie called The Truman Show. Truman lives in a false world, being watched by everyone every day. Everyone knows his world is a sham, except himself. Until one day, a girl appeared in his world and told him the truth, letting him know that his world was a sham. I have been creating a false world for myself for over a decade. It looks nice, but that's not what I wanted. Later in my world, a girl also appeared. She brought me out. From that point on, like, the waterworks for me started. Like, I literally started crying. And then the other highlights of his proposal, he said, I have seen every one of your games more than once. It is you that helped me get over a hurdle and get me back on the court, got me back to playing snooker and going on to win everything that I did, and reclaiming his title. It's you who gave me the courage to return to reality. What you gave me is not only joy, but also a crazy love of a sport and the pride of being the king of the game. Yin Go, I like you. I love you. I want to marry you. And I was beside myself. Like, I'm even getting a little emotional as I'm saying it right now. But just watching that, I fell out. I was like, you can't top that. The fact that he said that she brought him back into reality. she is the one that reignited his passion. She's the one that embraced him and actually allowed him to come into her joy as well, and that they could celebrate one another's achievements together and be stronger together and be this gorgeous unit together. And then after this gorgeous speech, and they're both crying, and he has sung this beautiful song, which is the OST for the show, on his guitar, even though he says, oh, I play horribly and I can't sing well, but it's just so beautiful and heartfelt. And then you see all the friends in the background, everyone with their sparklers, and they're saying, be happy, Yin Go, be happy, Lin Yi Yang. And you just cry even more. And it just perfectly encapsulates just how warm and comforting this entire show is. It's like being embraced in the most loving, warm, vanilla and cinnamon smelling blanket, and just being able to just vibe and feel love and just feel love. This is coming from someone that's just watching a fictitious show. It is so immersive. It's almost voyeuristic. And it was just a great journey all the way through to episode 30. I'm really sad to have having to conclude it, but I'm absolutely going to rewatch. There's definitely moments, and I've already highlighted them in this podcast. I've definitely highlighted them in previous podcasts that I've enjoyed, and I am going to most likely rewatch this. And if I can find it available on DVD, I most likely will buy it on DVD as well, so I have a physical copy of it, and that physical media can't be taken away from me. I've enjoyed this show so much, and it's kind of almost put me into a drama slump right now. There's a couple, or a few dramas, I should say, that I've been watching. I most likely will be talking about them shortly on this podcast, but I've been in a slump because it's just really hard to top it. Hidden Love is like right there, and then, you know, Amidst the Snowstorm of Love is like right there, just a notch below it. Because Hidden Love still, to me, is like the best of the best from what I've seen as far as modern C-dramas. But I have so much love for this show. I really do. And I thank you for taking the time to enjoy it with me as well. If you've made it this far into the podcast, let me know your thoughts. If you're watching on YouTube and you have watched the entirety of this show and you haven't commented already, please comment. Tell me your thoughts. Let me know what you thought about the show. And if you loved it, please tell me some of your favorite moments and what truly made you feel like you were some creeper watching in on the intimate moments of a couple that you probably shouldn't have. If you're listening via Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I really love and appreciate you as well. And I am hoping that I will find another drama soon that will encapsulate the same feelings I got from this. And believe you me, if I find it, I will let you know. I will be the first to let you know, okay? So until the next one, whether you're having a good morning, your good evening, good afternoon, whatever time that you're in, I hope you're having an amazing day. And I will see you in the next one. Bye.